Well, good morning and happy Easter to all of you. I think we're going to sing in a little bit, but I thought I'd read this scripture passage. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. And beginning at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. This is the women who came to the tomb and were the first witnesses of the resurrection. They found the stone rolled from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went home, amazed at what had happened.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
All of
In Luke chapter 24, the passage of Scripture that I read, I want us to look there and see what lessons the Lord would have for us on this Easter Sunday morning. Lessons that the women who came to the tomb can teach us. I don't know that there's any particular significance that these were women who came to the tomb, but I know through the years women have been especially devoted to the Lord, and none of us would be here, of course, if we're not for a mother. And just the devotion of these women coming to the tomb, I believe that we can learn from that, certainly. So I want us to just look and see what they teach us here about their devotion to the Lord. It was early in the morning, it says, the first day of the week. Of course, I think you understand that the crucifixion was traditionally understood to be a Friday. I think it was Friday. The Bible, I believe, is very clear about that. And then they rested on the Sabbath day, which is the Jewish Sabbath. And then on the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, very early in the morning, it says, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. Now, we have to go back in the chapter there, chapter 23, and we'll read about the women who had come with him from Galilee. It says, followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfume, and they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So it was these women, along with Mary Magdalene, it says in verse 10, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women. So we don't know exactly how many there were, but there were multiple. A group of women who came to the tomb. And what can we learn about their devotion? Well, I believe, first of all, we can learn that there was obeying of the Lord. I believe what they understood, the clear teaching of Christ himself. Jesus had said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. I don't know that they deliberately made that choice, but I think in looking back, they must have thought that this was something that we did because we loved the Lord, because we wanted to be obedient to what he had instructed us to do. Again, I don't know that there's any more, any difference. Well, there is a difference between male and female, of course, and women, I think, maybe have some advantages over the men, and that they can teach us devotion. I think God made women that way. They're devoted mothers, for example. I think there is this difference that God has created for a purpose. And we can learn here about their obedience to the Lord and the ordering of their priorities. There's obeying, there's ordering. It was the first day of the week, early in the morning. They didn't wait till a decent hour, 11 o'clock or some, while the sun was up. But they came at the earliest time. I've thought about having a real sunrise service on Easter Sunday, but it may just be, just a fewer than those who would come at 7 o'clock. So it's not dark like it was when they came. But I commend you for making the effort and I believe the Lord does, for coming on an Easter Sunday early, because this is the lesson that we can learn from these women who came to the tomb. They obeyed. They ordered their priorities. There was an offering. Here it says that they brought spices prepared to anoint his body. And so as soon as the Sabbath was over, the women turned again to their labor of love, preparing the ointment and spices for the embalming, and coming with the early dawn to the sepulcher. Now, they were mistaken. I mean, they came expecting to find his body still there. So I suppose if there's any criticism, it would be that they apparently did not believe what Jesus had said about rising again. Or maybe they thought it was yet some future time, or maybe in the way off distant future. But there was devotion. I think we can't question that. And we can learn from their devotion, coming to the tomb early. We ought to seek the Lord early, the Bible says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And he blesses those who seek him early. I think early in the day, early in the week. That's why we worship on Sunday. Their tuition. We can learn from their tuition. They learned as they went, as they were devoted to the Lord. They came to the tomb expecting to find the body of the Lord. And they were perplexed, we read in verse 4. And suddenly two men, it says, stood by them in dazzling clothes. And the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Now, I don't think that what they saw were gardeners or people out working there around the tomb. Sometimes we were watching one of the made-for-TV movies about the life of Jesus, and it showed the men out there hoeing the ground. This wasn't, just an ordinary. These weren't ordinary men. They were in dazzling clothes, it says. Now, I've seen some dazzling clothes, but they weren't like, our Easter bonnets and, clothes that people wear on Easter today. These were extraordinary personages, obviously angels, and they're described here in that way. So there was, first of all, in this learning experience that they had, this tuition, if you will, there was an examination. They came to the tomb to see the body of the Lord Jesus, but they did not find him. In fact, the stone, it says, was rolled away from the tomb. Now, those stones were not just little, weighing, 50 pounds or less. These were massive stones that could not be rolled away without even strong men could not roll them away. That was the purpose, to seal the tomb so that the contents would not be disturbed. So they examined and they saw the tomb that was empty. The angels said, "He is not here, but he has been resurrected," and called to the remembrance what he had spoken to them. So there was an explanation. I think it's so wonderful that God has not left us without an explanation from his word. We have the word of God as testimony to this greatest fact of history. And we can examine the evidence. It's not hidden or these were not events that were poorly recorded, but they are recorded for our examination and for our understanding. I've alluded many times to the book by Frank Morrison, I believe is his name, who is an English jurist and journalist, and he set out to disprove the resurrection. He was a skeptic of the resurrection, like many are still today. And so he set out to disprove the resurrection. He thought he could. And he said that he became so convinced by the overwhelming evidence of the resurrection that he became a believer and wrote this book that's entitled Who Moved the Stone? So there's an explanation. There's an education. That word educate is a word that means to rear or to bring up, to teach, to instruct, to help us to develop understanding. And I believe this is what we see here. They came doubting. They came believing that they would find the body, but they did not find the body. And they were convinced, very obviously convinced. Now, were the others? No, because they weren't there. I love the disciples. I love Peter and John, I suppose, because maybe I'm more like them. I don't know why they weren't there. I don't know why they left this to the women to be devoted to the Lord as they were. But they were basically skeptical. Skeptical, probably thought, well, what do they know? I mean, these are women that are maybe emotional, overcome with emotion, the sorrow of this event. They probably hadn't slept much and maybe doubted their mental stability. But we can learn from them in their devotion, in their tuition. The disciples, I think, needed to be chastised a little bit. The Lord did that, and we shouldn't do the chastising, but the Lord says that he will chasten every son that he loves. And he did so to the disciples. We know Peter had some bitter fruit from his denial of the Lord. But he learned. It took more time. Some would say men are more thick-headed. Well, I think maybe more skeptical by nature. And so here they came to the disciples, but they didn't believe them. But they expressed their faith. We must have devotion. We must have tuition. We must let the Lord teach us from his word. I think that in time they began. Of course, Peter ran to the tomb. We're told in the Gospel of John that the other disciple did outrun him. There was another disciple. John didn't want to say that it was him. But he outran him. I think maybe he was the younger of the two. And they went in, John, when he came to the tomb, he stooped and looked in. And I believe the Gospel of John says he saw and believed. And Peter, true to his nature, went in and saw. I mean, he went in to the tomb. He got there after John, but he went in. So there was a learning experience that took place as they came to the tomb and they learned. And then they expressed their faith. Here it says that in our scripture passage here that they remembered his words. This is the women, getting back to the women who came to the tomb. They remembered his words. The Son of Man, Jesus had said, must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise the third day. And it says they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Of course, Judas had betrayed the Lord and had hung himself, committed suicide. A terrible example of what unbelief can do, the despair. But there were 11 who were still faithful, I guess we would say, to the Lord, but unbelieving to this point, unbelieving in the resurrection. And so they needed this witness. I don't know, I suppose the Lord might have found some other way to make the truth known of the resurrection. But I think the whole point is that we must tell. The women told. They didn't allow. I mean, it wasn't. I suppose the Lord could have used the angels to go around and tell the good news, but it wasn't his plan. He uses human lips to tell the good news. That's what the gospel is. It means good news. And this is what they did. They remembered, first of all, remembered the word. Jesus said that they remembered the words that Jesus had said about rising again. And I thought about what Jesus said when he said, remember the word that I said to you. He said that several times in his ministry. I think because he wants us to remember his word. He wants us to go back to what he has said and to claim his promises. I think he wanted them to know that he was true to his word, that he was not like a lot of other, people who, people are fallible. But Jesus was not just an ordinary person. He was the God-man. He said, "Who of you can convince me of sin?" And he wanted us to know that his word is faithful and true. He is faithful and true, and he is true to his word. And so they remembered his word. They returned, we're told here. They returned to where they came from, obviously, returned from the tomb. But it says they reported these things to the 11. So apparently they were all kind of in the same area of Jerusalem still. They were in fellowship with the disciples. But again, I guess the disciples were sleeping. I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't expecting what they heard when the women came back. It's kind of a subtle rebuke, isn't it? Of our sometimes maybe just laziness, maybe depression. I'm sure there was a lot of depression among the disciples, maybe fear. They were fearful that the authorities might come and arrest them and take them to the same fate, which some of them did suffer. Some of them were killed. James was one of the martyrs, early martyrs of the church. So there were certainly, we would say, good reasons for them to stay where they were and to kind of be hiding out. But they returned, it says, And I think the lesson here for us is that we must go back to our corner of the world with the good news of Jesus. It's not just enough to talk about it amongst ourselves, but we need to share as we go out and tell others about our Lord who has been raised from the dead. Like Peter, or like Jesus with Peter and James and John. You may recall one day Jesus took Peter and James and John up on a mountain, and it says in the scriptures that he was transfigured before them. And they had this wonderful mountaintop experience. I think that's where that term came from, probably. They had this experience where the voice came from the cloud that descended on that mountain, and it said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." But they had to go back down the mountain. And when they got down to the foot of the mountain, there were problems. I think this is what the lesson that we need to learn, that God has called us to go out back to our world, to the people who need this good news that we have, that Jesus is not defeated by death. Jesus is the victor. He is the captain of our salvation. Nothing is too hard for him. No problem is too great. And we must be about our task of returning and reporting in the parallel account in Matthew. The angel said to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." Go quickly. I wonder why the quickly. Well, maybe the lesson was more for us, because I think we're prone to think, well, you know, it's a wonderful fact that I believe in my own heart, but I mean, don't we have plenty of time to tell other people about Jesus? I think there's this tendency that we have to procrastinate. And so the Bible says, go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And I want us just to think about those in our own life that we need to tell. Those of our loved ones, our family, our friends, our neighbors, those that we rub shoulders with and in the world in which we live, that we need to tell them about this wonderful good news of Jesus rising again, victorious over the grave. Because people fear death. I think we all fear death. Death is an enemy that we all must face according to the scriptures, and we know it's true. But we have the victor. We have the one who is victorious over the grave. And may we tell others about him. Come, and just by coming, say, "I want to be his. I love Jesus. I realize that he died on the cross for me. And I want to dedicate my life to him. I want to be devoted. I want to learn from him. I want to tell others about him." Would you come as we sing?